As many of you know, my wife and I are making plans to move back to Asheville after an absence of almost 33 years. And hopefully we'll be able to move by this summer that we'll be here. And one of the things I told Judy that I would miss when we move back to Asheville is our driving to come back to Asheville for a visit. Now, what do I mean by that? You see, when we moved from Asheville to the center of the state, we realized that we took these beautiful mountains for granted. You tend to do that when you live here. We learned to really appreciate these mountains when we moved. And we would realize it the most when we would come back to Asheville for a visit. And all those years as we came back to Asheville, we never tired of seeing that first view of the mountains as we drove west on I-40. And that first sight of those high hills in the distance was always so inspiring to once again see those mountains. And sometimes we'd be near sunset when we were coming back, and seeing the sun set behind the mountains with an array of colors was just breathtaking. It was spectacular to behold. We loved that sight. And I'm going to miss that, the driving back to see those beautiful mountains, because we'll be living in the mountains. And we never tired of seeing that beautiful view all those years. And as we come back to the mountains, as I think about these mountains, I will often think, as I see these high hills, of one of my favorite Sabbath scriptures. It's found in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 15. Let's turn there, please. Here God gives us some very simple instructions for keeping the Sabbath. And he tells us how he will bless us if we will simply follow these simple instructions. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Now, to me, this is self-explanatory. And it goes so well with the Sabbath commandment in Exodus 20, verse 8. Hold your place here in Isaiah, and let's turn back to Exodus 20, verse 8, as we emphasize the fourth commandment. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let's go back to Isaiah 58, verse 13. As we remember that God gives us 6 days to do our pleasure, our work. Other translations of Isaiah 58:13 says, our ways. The Moffat translation adds, our business. The New Living Translation says, don't pursue your own interests, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight. Now, that doesn't sound hard to do, does it? But it's amazing how difficult sometimes we make it. Quite frankly, all too often, we can take the delight out of keeping the Sabbath. Now, we don't mean to, but we can very easily think we're doing God's way on the Sabbath when we're still doing our way. And as we read, God wants us to call the Sabbath a delight. He wants us to enjoy this day. And we all probably remember former brethren who never learned to do that. And unfortunately, we probably have some brethren today who have never learned to do that, to delight in the Sabbath. You know, when I first came into the church, it took me a while to delight in keeping the Sabbath. For me, the Sabbath at first was a burden. And I made it a burden. I did it to myself. In my case, I was new in the church, a babe in Christ. And I didn't fully understand at that time what the Sabbath was, what it meant. And I didn't fully understand what God intended it to be for His church, for His people. As some of you know, I was in the Air Force when I came into the church. And I was living in the barracks when I started keeping the Sabbath. And I really didn't know what to do on the Sabbath. Or more accurately, I really didn't know what not to do on the Sabbath. Yes, I knew to go to services on the Sabbath, and I did, and I enjoyed that. I still enjoy it very much. But when I came back on base, came back to my barracks in my room there, I thought that if I did anything that didn't involve praying or Bible study or listening to a church tape, I would be breaking the Sabbath. And in those first several months in the church, I did not really enjoy the Sabbath. Because frankly, I was afraid to do anything on the Sabbath when I was back home in my barracks. Because yes, that was my home. At times I felt if I did anything that in my eyes was breaking the Sabbath, I'd be struck by lightning. And all too often on the Sabbath, I felt guilty. And I don't mind telling you that. Yes, in my early days in the church, I was anxious for the Sabbath to come to an end. I put so much pressure on myself that it was a relief when the pressure was gone. And the pressure left me when the Sabbath ended. Now notice I said, I put the pressure on myself. And I did it through ignorance. At that time, my understanding of the Sabbath was very limited. But I did grow spiritually. And as I grew spiritually, my understanding also grew. I had to learn that God is not the harsh lawgiver who's just waiting for us to mess up so He can zap us. No, God's laws, including His law on keeping the Sabbath, is for our benefit. They're for our good. And giving us the Sabbath shows God's abundant love for each and every one of us. Brethren, the Sabbath is a day for us to delight in keeping. God intended that from the very beginning. The Sabbath is meant to be a joy to keep. Unfortunately, too many seem to just endure the Sabbath when we are to enjoy the Sabbath. We need to remember what God said, or what Christ said in Matthew 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God didn't make it to be a burden to us. God didn't make it to make it difficult for us to keep. And in time, I saw all that. And it didn't take that long for me to finally love keeping the Sabbath, that it was so I couldn't wait for the Sabbath to start. And I was never anxious for it to end. And most importantly for me, I learned to call the Sabbath a delight. It became a day of joy for me. I'm happy to say it remains a day of joy for me. Or as Isaiah 58 reminds us, the Sabbath is a delight. And one way to delight in the Sabbath is to come together with God's people on this special holy day. The Sabbath is one day in seven. And the Sabbath is the most special day of the week. And coming together, being together, helps make it special. Of course, that's why we're all here together in Mills River. Coming together to worship God and be with His people on God's special day. that he gave to us. I mentioned that God didn't make the Sabbath to be a burden. But we can do that to ourselves, as I once upon a time did to myself. As most of us know, the Pharisees were good at putting burdens on themselves and on the people on the Sabbath. Now, we're not going to go over the do's and don'ts of Sabbath keeping. Instead, I want us all to concentrate on calling this day a delight, because it is a delight. Let's always remember that the seventh day is always a delight, wherever we are observing it. But talking about the Pharisees placing burdens on the Sabbath, the Jews have what is called the Mishnah, the written codification of the oral traditions. It lists 39 categories of work prohibited on the Sabbath. And from these 39 categories came literally thousands of specific halakha, or specific rules governing each situation and contingency on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees knew all these thousands of rules for the Sabbath, and they expected the people to keep each and every one of them. As we see from the New Testament, they were quick to point out any violation of these rules to Jesus. Now, it's unbelievable that they had literally thousands of rules for Sabbath keeping. And when I first came into church, I thought I put pressure on myself in keeping the Sabbath. Imagine trying to keep up with thousands of rules to remember to keep on the Sabbath day. How do you delight in that? How can anyone think that this day is so special if you had to remember thousands of rules to keep today? And from Scripture, we see that the Pharisees did not truly delight in keeping the Sabbath. Unfortunately, they didn't know the blessings of the Sabbath, because they did not know how to keep the Sabbath, even though they had Jesus the Christ trying to teach them. Let me share just a couple of the Sabbath rules from the Mishnah. Does giving alms to a beggar who comes to your house violate the Sabbath? That depends, of course. In Every Man's Talmud by A. Cohen, the author relates how the rabbis distinguished between a beggar reaching into the window of a home to receive alms and a householder reaching out of the window. Also at issue is whether the beggar took the alms from the householder's hand or the householder put the alms in the beggar's hand. Thus, four possibilities existed, and they pronounced guilt or innocence accordingly. So there are four possibilities, but only one was acceptable on the Sabbath. The other three were breaking the Sabbath. The only guilt-free way to give alms on the Sabbath, the beggar stands outside, stretches forth his hand inside the house, and the householder puts the alms in his hand for him. If it wasn't done that way, you've broken the Sabbath. Now, talking about the Mishnah, it prescribed what might or might not be saved if one's house caught on fire on the Sabbath. So, talking about the Sabbath, your house is on fire. The Mishnah said, only those clothes that were absolutely necessary could be saved. But one could put on a dress, save it, then go back and put on another one. So you couldn't go into your closet. I don't know if they had closets back then. You couldn't go into your closet, just grab a bunch of clothes and run out with it. And no, John, you couldn't save your high-definition, large, big-screen TV either. Nope. You'd be breaking the Sabbath if you did that. One cannot ask a Gentile to extinguish the flames. Talking about your house being on fire. But if he did so voluntarily, he should not be hindered. They had a rule for if your house was on fire, how much food you can take out of your house. You can only take enough food that would be eaten on the Sabbath if your house was on fire. You couldn't take more than that. and just talking about food, not if your house is on fire. And this is amazing. Well, they're all amazing to me, but this one really gets me. If a laying hen laid an egg on the Sabbath, it could not be eaten. But if the hen had been kept for fattening and not laying, the egg could be eaten, since it would be considered a part of the hen that had fallen off. So I'm imagining you can have the two hens right there together. They both lay an egg, and you say, oh, no, I can't have that egg, but I can have that egg. Okay. Now, this wasn't in the Mishmah, but I had to share this one from you. Maybe you've heard of a group called the Essenes. They were a very strict group during the time of Jesus. How strict? I had to make sure I put this delicately. This is how strict they were, the Essenes. They would not go to the bathroom on the Sabbath. They would wait until after the Sabbath. And obviously, I guess right before the Sabbath, they would go to the bathroom. Now, if that was a rule today, I definitely would not look forward to the Sabbath. But I would definitely look forward to the end of the Sabbath. Now, as we read some of these Sabbath rules from Christ's time, we may say, oh, no one in the church would do anything like that today. Well, hopefully not. But I think we'd be probably very surprised at what some people will come up with even today. As I was preparing this part of the sermon, I tried to think of a rule that I had known about or heard about during my time in the church regarding Sabbath keeping. I wanted a rule that would make a Pharisee proud. And that's not a compliment to a Pharisee. And I remember one that my wife told me about. It was probably in our first year of marriage. It was Sabbath morning, and I was getting ready for church. But before I go further, I need to add this here. And I've brought this up before in other sermons. I know Martha has heard this comment before. I always, when I bring up this comment, I always hope I'll get some sympathy. But so far, I've never gotten any sympathy. And usually I wanted sympathy from the ladies, but they always look at me and scorn it when I tell them about this. But my fingernails grow really, really fast. I am amazed how fast my fingernails grow. I cut them Thursday because they were just so long I had to couldn't stand it anymore. Seems like I'm always needing to cut them. And it just gets a bother that I have to cut them so often. Any sympathy, ladies? I see a lot of faces of scorn as they're looking at me. Well, I don't expect any sympathy, but it's worth a try. I'm not going to give up. So on this particular Sabbath, because I was working back then, and yeah, get busy, and on the Sabbath morning, I noticed my fingernails, and I noticed, well, they needed clipping. So what did I do? Well, I got a fingernail clipper and clipped them. Now, how long do you think it takes me to clip my fingernails? 20, 30 seconds at the most? And usually I don't have to clip every fingernail, just the ones that grew really long. My index fingers, they really grow long, and my pinkies. Now, I didn't give myself a manicure. It took me 20 seconds or so to clip my nails. And I'm not talking about getting a manicure on the Sabbath. I've never had one in my life. And I have no intention of ever having one in my life. But I clipped my fingernails, and Judy saw me clipping them. When she saw me clipping them, she said to me, "Do you know that?" And then she named a deacon that used to be in our area. He had moved out of our area a couple of months before we were married. But she said, "Do you know what this deacon said about clipping your fingernails on the Sabbath?" He said, "You shouldn't do it on the Sabbath. That was breaking the Sabbath if you clipped your fingernails." Now, for those of you who remember Star Trek and the original Mr. Spock, I gave her one of my Mr. Spock looks, which goes like this. Arch the eyebrow, if you remember how he used to do that. So that's all I did to her. And I said, you got to be kidding me. No, no, she wasn't kidding. I had never heard of that before, and I've never heard of that since. And I'll tell you, I'll be shocked if someone comes up to me and says, you clip your fingernails on a Sabbath, how dare you break it? No, I don't expect to hear anybody say that. I've never heard that teaching in the church. I've never heard a minister say it. But you know, quite frankly, that was his rule about the Sabbath. And he was doing his way on the Sabbath. And last I heard of this deacon, he is now going to church on Sunday, and he keeps Christmas and Easter and all the other pagan days. And I think we can look at that example this way. His doing his way on the Sabbath led him to do his way on the Sabbath. And now he does his way every Sabbath because he no longer keeps the Sabbath. And he no longer keeps the Sabbath because he no longer believes in the Sabbath. Remember how the Pharisees would get upset with Christ for healing on the Sabbath? They would ask him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Let's turn there. It's Matthew 12, verse 10. But hold your place here in Isaiah 58. Turn to Matthew 12, verse 10. Because I want to bring something else out here. You know, personally, I can also picture a Pharisee asking Christ, is it lawful to cut fingernails on the Sabbath? Thinking that they would catch him on that one. Matthew 12, verse 10. Behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath that they might accuse him? Now, the Pharisees' rule said no, it was not lawful to heal on the Sabbath. But Christ uses this as an opportunity to teach the Pharisees about the Sabbath. Verse 11, then he said to them, what man is there among you has one sheep? If it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out. Because that was okay to do on the Sabbath. Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. What an opportunity for the Pharisees to delight in this man being healed and on the Sabbath. What a lesson for them to learn and to rejoice over. But it went right over their heads. They could not see the lesson that Christ was teaching them about this keeping the Sabbath. All they could see was their own rules. And there was no joy in their hearts over this man being healed. All because one of their rules was broken. That's all they could see. And then notice verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Now, it's amazing to me that doing good on the Sabbath made the Pharisees angry. They couldn't see the good, so they couldn't delight in the Sabbath. They couldn't see the good. But you know what? They couldn't see the evil either. Because what did they do? And on the Sabbath, we just read, they plotted to destroy Christ. In other words, they plotted murder. Somehow, plotting murder wasn't against any of their rules on the Sabbath. And they were blinded to that evil because of their rules. How can anyone delight in the Sabbath when they're blinded by the self? Because you see, with the Pharisees, it was really all about them. Let's go back to Isaiah 58, verse 14 now. In verse 13, we read some simple instructions for the Sabbath. In fact, so simple, you would think even a Pharisee would understand them. Isaiah 58, verse 14. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. You shall delight yourself in the Lord. In other words, just follow what we were told in verse 13. Don't do our ways. Follow God's ways. Now hold your place here again in Isaiah 58. Let's turn over to Proverbs 18, verse 2. Proverbs 18, verse 2. Because this is why so many people cannot delight in the Sabbath. Why so many people will not delight in the Sabbath. Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. And that described the Pharisees to a T. And too many people basically live this verse. It's all about them. They look to and depend on their own ways. Because of that, they can't delight in the Sabbath. When people don't understand God's ways, what's the result? Well, just look at the society around us. That's what you get. Let's go back to Isaiah 58, verse 14. Second verse. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. I love how this is put. Ride on the high hills of the earth. What do you picture when you read this? How about this? Just look at these mountains around us when you go outside after church. Now picture soaring above them just like a bird. How would that make you feel? How would you feel riding on the high hills of the earth? Let me share with you what I picture when I read this part of Isaiah 58:14. There's actually two things. As some of you know, Judy and I have been to Hawaii for the feast. We've been there four times. The first time to Kauai, then twice to Maui, and the last time to the Big Island. Since we've been there four times, it's obvious that we like Hawaii. I always tell people, in fact, I told someone last Saturday night, they asked about Hawaii. I always tell people, well, if you like paradise, you'll like Hawaii. If you don't like paradise, then you won't like Hawaii. That's what I always tell people. But I love to visit Hawaii. I'll tell people, now I don't want to live on an island, but I love to visit it. And I'd love to go back again. Because it's so beautiful, outstandingly beautiful. And we highly recommend, if you get a chance to visit, go. They're having a feast site this year in the Big Island again. Highly recommend it. I also like to tell people that if you like the beach and the mountains, and you always have a hard time deciding, oh, where should we go, to the beach or to the mountains? Hawaii is the place for you because they have spectacular beaches and awe-inspiring mountains. You can be driving down a two-lane road, and on your right, there are these majestic mountains reaching for the sky. You might even see a rainbow right over the mountain. While on your left, spectacular beaches, perhaps with the island of Molokai in the background, as it was on the island of Maui. There is so much physical beauty in Hawaii. And one way that Judy and I found to enjoy the beauty was by air, by taking helicopter rides. We did one each year that we went, and each year that was one of the highlights of our feasts in Hawaii. We literally rode the high hills of the earth. We flew over Waimea Canyon, called the Grand Canyon of the Pacific. That's on the island of Kauai, and it was breathtaking to see. In Maui, we flew by Haleakala, the world's largest dormant volcano, 10,000 feet high, and we flew right by its rim, because by law you couldn't fly over the extinct volcano. But we flew right up to the rim, and we looked over, and it was 3,000 feet deep to the bottom of that crater. And the ride was absolutely exhilarating. And on the Big Island, we took a helicopter ride and we flew over the lava from an active volcano. Saw how bright and orange it was. But each time, we thoroughly enjoyed riding on the high hills of the earth. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience that we got to experience four times. You'll have to think about that one for a few minutes. And for those of you who'd like to have a similar physical experience, but you can't go all the way to Hawaii, maybe you'll do so at the Feast of Pigeon Forge. At the feast, or either basically any time of the year, because they have helicopter rides there. So imagine soaring over the Smoky Mountains. And if it's in late spring and or the summer when everything's in bloom, or early fall when you have the colors changing, that would even make it more special as you ride on the high hills of the Smokies. I thought there were two things I picture when I read this verse. Ride the high hills of the earth. And the second thing that comes to mind is a little different, but it was still a very vivid experience. In fact, I look at it as a natural high that I experienced. And I stress the natural part because it happened while I was a college student at UNC Asheville, or UNCA, as we call it. Now, I spent 8 years in the Air Force before going to UNCA. Got out of the Air Force in 1977. So when I attended UNCA, I was not some young college student. I was one of the mature. Some of the kids looked at me as a very mature college student. And I was baptized in 1976, and in May of 77, went to UNCA. And for the first year or so, I graduated in 1979, I lived in a dormitory. I had a private room. It was small, very small. Some of you have walk-in closets that are bigger than that room that I had. But it was a private room, and I liked that. Now, I had a clock radio, and I would set it to wake up to music. In those days, when the clock radio went off, I did not just jump right out of bed. I still don't jump right out of bed. It takes me a little longer to get out of bed now at my age, but I do get out of bed at least when the radio goes on. But back then, I would lie there listening to the radio, especially if it was a song that I liked. So often, I would be half sleeping, half listening to the radio. And I remember one particular morning, the radio came on. And on it was a song by the Steve Miller Band called Fly Like an Eagle. Some of you may be familiar with that. And the catchphrase of the song is, I want to fly like an eagle. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle. Well, guess what? On that particular morning, as I lie there half asleep and half awake listening to that song, I was flying like an eagle. It felt like I was up in the sky, up around the mountains around Asheville, flying with an eagle. And I remember the eagle was to my right as we were flying over the mountains. We were soaring together over the high hills of the earth. In other words, I was riding on the high hills of the earth, as this scripture tells us. And I remember how exhilarating that feeling was to be doing so. It was just like riding in a helicopter, as I found out years later. And I use those physical examples of riding the high hills of the earth to remind us the spiritual meaning of the verse as it pertains to the Sabbath. Delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. The Believer's Bible commentary says, if we do this, God will give us a place of leadership in the earth. The New Bible Commentary Revised says, to people of the Spirit, God can safely give great things. And the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary and the whole Bible comments, high hills signify places of safety and eminence for God's people. In other words, God will bless us. He will bless us if we first keep the Sabbath. But there is more needed than just keeping the Sabbath. Because remember, the Pharisees kept the Sabbath. But in no way did they ride the high hills of the earth as they delighted in the Sabbath. we need to do more. And God's blessing, if we accept it, allows us to go beyond just keeping this day. It does allow us to delight in keeping this day. And brethren, God gives us so much to delight in. Let's go back to Isaiah 58, verse 13. 14, I'm sorry. And feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The NIV says, feast on the inheritance of your father, Jacob. Which leads us back to the promises to Abraham, which our country has certainly enjoyed down through the years. And verse 14 ends with, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Or as we can say, thus saith the Lord. The King James Version uses that expression often throughout. Thus saith the Lord. And I like that expression. I like it so much that I think it's a good way to end this split sermon. We read how God wants us to enjoy His Sabbath. And we know what this day means for us as Christians. We are to remember it. We are to keep it. And we are to delight in it. Can we do that, brother? Oh, most definitely, yes, we can. Why? Because as we are taught in God's Word, as we've seen today, simply put, thus saith the Lord. So how can we not delight in keeping the Sabbath if we follow God's simple instructions? And speaking of the Sabbath, good Sabbath, brethren.